This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. You gave us the sources, and we are here to provide the insights.
That's right.
Today, we are doing a very unique deep dive. We're focusing on just one single piece of source material.
And it's a really interesting one.
It asks a question that's, well, so specific, it kind of forces us to redefine some human habits, doesn't it?
It really does.
We're analyzing the premise found in material titled Zodiac Signs and Oversleeping Habits.
Okay.
And our mission today is driven by one very precise core question from that source.
Which is?
Which zodiac signs are most likely to hit snooze 10 times?
10 times. It's an immediate curiosity gap, isn't it? You know, taking these big old categories like astrology.
Right, these ancient ideas.
And mapping them onto something so, so modern and frankly mundane. That repeated fight with the alarm clock.
Yeah, that negotiation, that's really the key here, I think. We aren't just talking about sleeping in late. That's kind of vague.
True.
We're analyzing the specific behavioral side of this, this 10-tap ritual, this resistance to actually getting up.
It forces us to define our terms right away, you know? If we look at the title, Oversleeping Habits, what does the author actually mean?
Good question.
Are they talking about genuinely needing like a huge amount of sleep? Maybe some biological thing. Chronic rest.
See, I'd argue that because the specific question mentions the alarm clock, the source is kind of deliberately moving away from biology.
Okay. Towards temperament.
Exactly. It's not really about how much sleep you need, but maybe how much you struggle against waking up when you don't strictly need more sleep.
That's a critical distinction, yeah. Chronic oversleeping could be, like you said, biological.
Yeah.
A chronotype thing, maybe metabolic.
But a snoozing habit.
That's different. That's a conflict, right? A conflict of will. It assumes you set an intent in the alarm time, and then you you consistently choose immediate comfort over that plan.
It's like a mini analysis of compliance or procrastination even.
Exactly. Procrastination against starting the day.
So the basic idea, the assumption the source makes, is that your astrological sign can actually predict how likely you are to go for that short-term comfort when you're faced with a pretty minor conflict, like the alarm going off.
And what's really fascinating, I think, is that the source tries to quantify this internal resistance. It's trying to link these, you know, celestial cycles.
Yeah, the big cosmic stuff.
To something you can actually see and measure, that gap between planning to wake up and actually doing it.
Okay, let's really lean into the precision here. Why 10 times? That's what makes this so specific and kind of interesting.
It is specific.
Why not just say which signs like to snooze?
Well, 10.
Yeah.
10 is basically the definition of persistent failure to get up, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Hitting it once, maybe twice. That could just be grogginess, reflex. Wanting 5 more minutes, but 10 times.
That's a commitment.
It is. Assuming, like, the standard 9-minute snooze.
Yeah.
You're stretching the waking process over nearly an hour and a half.
Wow.
That's not just being sleepy. That's sustained, deliberate resistance. It's an act.
It turns just, you know, failing to wake up into this planned, drawn-out delay. It's almost like a signature behavior.
Absolutely. It's a whole routine.
Right.
When you commit to 10 snoozes, you're showing, I think, several key traits.
Like what?
First, a really deep, immediate focus on physical comfort. Warmth, the bed, above pretty much everything else waiting for you.
Okay, prioritizing comfort.
Second, maybe a kind of optimism, perhaps misplaced optimism, that the next 9 minutes will somehow be more restful than the last nine.
The perpetual hope for better sleep.
Right. And third, probably a high degree of conflict avoidance, specifically about the abruptness of morning.
You mean not liking the suddenness of it all?
Exactly. You're trying to ease into the day really, really gently through these tiny repeated delays, micro commitments to staying put.
So the 10 snooze person is kind of a master of delay tactics.
Not so much.
They're saying, okay, I know I have to get up, but I'm going to push this back again and again until the absolute last second.
And that whole negotiation says something about the relationship with inertia.
Inertia. Like just staying put.
Yeah, the physical state of comfort, of sleep. It has this powerful gravitational pull that's just stronger than their plan for the day.
Okay. So if we accept this very specific behavioral profile, the persistent comfort seeker, the procrastinator needing 90 minutes to warm up.
Yeah.
What does basic zodiac theory, like the elements, suggest? Let's explore the theoretical side, even though we don't have the source's actual list of signs.
Okay, good approach. Well, we should probably start by thinking about who's least likely to do this.
Makes sense.
The fire signs, maybe. Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. They're usually seen as action-oriented, right? Immediate energy. They tend to dislike wasting time or feeling stuck.
So they'd either jump out of bed annoyed or maybe hit it once and then just get up.
Probably.
Yeah.
Or realize how inefficient the whole 10 snooze thing is and just stop doing it altogether. It doesn't seem like their style to maintain that long, drawn-out internal fight.
Right. They prefer the quick, clean break. 10 taps feels too passive for that fiery vibe.
Precisely. And then you have the air signs. Gemini, Libra, Aquarius. They're often driven by thought, mental energy, restlessness even.
Their minds are already going.
Often, yeah. Thinking about the day, conversations, ideas, for them, sustained physical comfort is usually less important than mental stimulation. The 10-tap thing would probably just feel tedious, boring.
Okay, so that leaves us with water and earth elements. These seem much more likely candidates for prioritizing that specific kind of inertia and comfort we're talking about.
Agreed. They fit the profile better, theoretically.
Let's start with earth signs. Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn.
Right. Birth signs are very connected to the physical, the material world. Taurus especially is linked with fixed comfort, sensuality, appreciating luxury.
Like the feeling of the warm bed.
Exactly. For a strong earth sign, the simple physical sensation, the duvet, the mattress, is a powerful draw. Refusing to leave is tied to loving their immediate, tangible surroundings.
So for them, the habit comes from stubbornness and just really enjoying the physical feeling. They're comfy and they're not moving easily.
Pretty much. It's like an internal voice saying, this feels good. Why change it right now?
Okay. What about the others? Virgo, Capricorn.
Well, Capricorn, while usually seen as disciplined, is ruled by Saturn. They respect structure. The 10-tap ritual for them might be less about pure sensual comfort.
And more about?
More about a methodical, almost calculated delay, a predictable routine that lets them transition slowly into their, you know, usually work-focused day.
Ah, that's a neat distinction. So earth signs see the physical inertia either as pleasure or maybe as a necessary methodical decompression before the day starts.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay, let's switch to water signs. Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces. How does their connection to emotion and the subconscious play into this 10-tap habit?
Water signs are often really sensitive to transitions. Think about it. The alarm clock is usually this loud, abrupt, maybe metallic sound.
Yeah, jarring.
It shatters the emotional, dreamy world of sleep, of the subconscious. So for a water sign, hitting snooze repeatedly might not be just about physical comfort.
It's about
emotional self-preservation. They need to sort of gently wade back into reality, not be thrown into it.
It's like a defense mechanism against emotional stress, the shock of waking.
Yes, exactly. Cancer, ruled by the moon, values safety, home, the bedroom as a protective shell. Delaying the alarm means delaying leaving that safe space.
Makes sense. And Pisces.
Pisces, ruled by Neptune. often seen as living partly in the dream world anyway, right? So the transition out of sleep can be particularly hard because that line between conscious and subconscious is already kind of blurry for them.
It fits perfectly. The water sign is trying to hold on to emotional safety, or maybe the dream state itself.
Well, the earth sign is holding on to physical comfort.
Right, and both paths lead to the same 10 taps, but for totally different internal reasons. Analyzing the snooze habit becomes this window into different core motivations.
And that's why the source question, even without the answer, is so valuable. It pushes us past just calling someone lazy.
Yeah.
It shows that what looks like one single behavior could actually stem from very different psychological priorities. Comfort, inertia, avoiding emotions, or needing a methodical start.
Okay, now here's the crucial bit for you, the listener. We've analyzed the structure, the psychology, the theoretical links to elements, but the actual list of signs the source supposedly identifies as the 10-tap culprits, well, that data wasn't in the material you gave us. It's missing.
And that absence actually gives us our most important takeaway, I think, a critical insight.
Which is?
The real value here isn't necessarily in the final list of signs. It's in how rigorously the question was framed.
How specific it was.
Yes. By demanding that the astrological prediction be tied to something hyper-specific and quantifiable, hitting snooze 10 times the source, actually created a framework for a much more sophisticated kind of personality analysis.
It's like the difference between asking, is this person generally tidy? Versus asking, I don't know, does this person stack dirty dishes neatly next to the sink instead of putting them in it?
Yeah, exactly. That second question gives you a measurable, modern way to look at internal conflict or habits. It's specific behavior.
This is really the era of data, isn't it? Even for abstract ideas like astrology, to get attention, maybe they need to be mapped onto these ultra-specific, repeatable actions.
It grounds the cosmic in the everyday, in the clock radio in this case. It gives us a modern behavioral definition for traits like procrastination or comfort seeking.
So we've spent this time really analyzing the architecture of the premise that the zodiac might predict your dedication to procrastination, measured in these 9-minute chunks. Aww. And just by doing that, we've kind of created this rich theoretical model based purely on the specific behavior described.
It lets us move beyond just vague generalizations. And maybe it teaches us to look at our own habits and ask, what highly specific, maybe tiny action do I perform every single day that's like an involuntary fingerprint of my personality?
So what does all this mean for you, the listener? We've looked closely at connecting, well, cosmic identity with this very specific repetitive behavior of managing your alarm clock. And we realized the strength of the source wasn't necessarily an answer, but the specificity of the question itself. It forced us to define temperament through actual measurable behavior.
Which means maybe we should observe our own lives through this kind of highly specific lens, too. If a source is looking at something as precise as hitting snooze 10 times, what other tiny modern microbehaviors are out there?
Ready for their close-up.
Exactly. Ready for psychological or maybe even astrological correlation studies.
Like what? Give me an example.
Okay. Which sign is most likely to always let their phone battery drain to exactly, say, 4% before they finally plug it in?
Huh. Or who habitually opens, like, 30 tabs on their internet browser and just never closes them?
Or think about texting habits. Which sign always replies instantly, no matter what they're doing?
Versus the sign that lets messages sit for hours, treating communication like it's something you schedule.
Right. These are the modern, quantifiable ways we express ourselves. They tell a much richer story about our priorities, maybe, than broad generalizations ever could.
That's a really great thought to end on. Demanding we actually observe our specific, often mundane little habits as real clues to our core personality.
Something to think about.
Definitely. Well, thank you for providing the material for this really fascinating deep dive. We'll catch you next time.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.